What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram. Maybe you're listening later, wherever you get your podcasts. It is all good, all together down the hood. And we did have off this last week. We are back now. I'm very excited to be back here chatting with you about comic books. We have some great guests for you this evening. But before we get into it, we've got some great business to talk about, and that's how everybody loves to start a show. I do want to mention again here, we are going to be doing a live show in person in New Orleans, Friday, January 10th at 8 p.m.
Come on down.
It's going to be a free show. There's going to be beer on tap. That's not free. And food to eat. That's also not free. But the show itself should be free. It's going to be a lot of fun. Check it out. Just want to specify, I don't want people coming in and like, grabbing the beers and the food and everything and be like,
yeah, free or not free is how I decide everything in my life.
Well, it happens. But speaking of free or not free, this show is not free to do for us. It actually costs a fair amount of money. And we have some amazing Patreon folks who support us every month at patreon.com/comicbookclub. At the beginning of the month or middle of the month, if we miss the first show, we try to give a little shout out to anybody at the $5 and above level. And that's what we're going to do right now. Starting it off with Oidis Larson.
Aaron C. Hollis.
Adam DeRose.
Adam Marks.
Adriel Moreland.
Elena Fontenot.
America's Villain.
Andrew Primo.
Andrew Tillman.
Purecat PhD.
Bradley Hansen.
Carrie Matthews.
Christina Jaramillo.
Christina Rensfield.
Christer Lizzy.
Clemens Luer.
Corey Smoker.
Dan Snow.
Daniel Fuentes.
Daniel Pete the Poodle Cabrero.
There it is. Danny, what the heck?
David, what the Donaldson?
Debbie Gloom.
Dennis Scott.
Derek Maynard.
Doug Sodaway.
Dylan LJ.
Eduardo Martinez.
Emmett Quish.
Enrique Chumbes.
Gerard DeVillier.
Ian Rayleigh.
Ian Thomas.
Isaac Carter.
Jake Fry.
James Connolly.
Jaron Townsend.
Jason Donahue.
Jeffrey Whaley.
John Henderson.
Jonathan Jong.
Jonathan McCool.
Josh Wright.
Joshua Yolo.
Rounding out the Josh block with Joshua W. Broxson.
Kelby.
Kevin Kleinrock.
Kieran Broderick.
Cody Thomas.
Lance Kaminsky.
Lee Wana Thomas.
Lucas Sink.
Maddie.
Matt Tice.
Matthew C. Hernandez.
Matthew DePalma.
Matthew Schofield.
Michael McAuliffe.
Michael Tillman.
Nelson Kelso Martinez.
Nick G.
Nick Grayson.
Official CBC chef Brett Macris. Shouts.
Stray Bullies.
Amia Solart.
Oren Dix.
Pedro A. Rangel.
Provocative Ambulance.
Rev Mikey.
Robert Pettinato.
Ron Hood.
Roxanne Tyler.
Shouts to my mom, Sarah Schottmuller.
Sarah Schaefer.
Scott Carpenter.
Scott England.
Severin.
Stanley.
Taylor Bryan.
The Big Flood.
The 12 Batch.
Trill Root.
Victor Perez.
Will Buchanan.
Will Diaz.
William Leach.
Zachary Bachman.
You know it's a good week when I get to be the one that says Zika's Viral Comics.
Thank you, everybody, for supporting us. We really appreciate it. If you would like to support our Patreon for real, it does keep the show going. You can do $2 and up, and you get our back catalog going all the way back, a podcast going all the way back to 2011, many of which are not online anymore, as
Some
well as access
old
to our
opinions.
Old opinions. If you want to hear comic book reviews of comics you forgot existed, boy, have we got a deal for you. There you go. But if you want to talk about new comic books, we have some amazing guests for you this evening. If you're on in the show, we're going to have James Robinson and Jay Boat are going to be here. But right now, why don't we bring in our first guest? She's the creator of Castle Swimmer on Webtoon, which just got collected by 10 Speed Graphic. Ladies and gentlemen, Wendy Martin. Well,
hey,
Wendy,
welcome.
Hello, Wendy.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for coming on. This is a great book. This has been running on Webtoon since, 2019. And the 10-speed graphic book collects the first 19 chapters of this really awesome undersea, I don't know, it's not exactly romantic-y. There's also some action there. What do you categorize it as, or is it uncategorizable?
I guess it's romantic-y. It would fit. Right. I think the romance and fantasy is the main part of it.
And do you spell it as romantic with S-E-A at the end?
Because oh my it's also God, under dude. The come C. on, bro.
I'm sorry.
I've actually never used that word before, romantic. I'm just learning that word, so that's pretty cool.
Me too.
All right, that's... but we do need to stop and talk about your puppy in the background.
Yeah, adorable dog. Made a cameo.
I'm hoping that's Squid, my dog. I'm hoping he's quiet during this.
Also, cool. Squid's also seafaring.
Yeah.
He likes seafaring.
So this book has been a huge success on Webtoon, and we've got a bunch of creators here who have taken stuff from Webtoon and put it in a collected volume. It's always, I find, a very interesting challenge because everybody has set up their Webtoon strips differently, and then having to take it and change it from the book to the page that changes quite a bit. So before we even get to the concept of that, I'm curious about what the translation.
I'm sorry, what was that that last line there?
You could what was the translation process like for you, taking it from vertical to the printed format?
Well, the first important thing is that my publisher got another artist to help me handle the book of like most of the reformatting so that I could keep working on the actual Webtoon and keep making money and work on the books, because it's reformatting it from like the scrolling Webtoon into a book is actually like takes a lot longer than I thought it would.
Yeah.
So I'm able to work with the artists. They kind of like work with the artists and the editor, and they send stuff back to me, and I can give approval and suggestions and make like art edits wherever needed. So it's kind of a lot of a back and forth team effort.
Now, what brought you into this world? It seems like, have you always just loved the sea? What first brought you into this lonely underwater area?
Yeah, I've always liked mermaids. I feel like I was like one of those little mermaid girls that wanted to be into Little Mermaids and swim around and pretended they were a mermaid. But I also just like I'm into animals, so I like stories of like characters who are half animal, like centaurs. Anything that's like animalistic traits mixed with humans was always interesting for me for some reason.
Well, let's talk about the concept of the book, because you do have this character who is imprisoned. He is a beacon, I believe is the term. And there is another character who is sent to kill him. Instead, without getting too much into spoilers, they start to develop a very interesting relationship.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, I mean, you give any of the pitch that I missed out on, I guess.
Yes, it's about a shark prince named Siren who it's his duty to kill this special kind of Jesus-like prophecy shining merman, and he has to do it in order to save his entire castle from a curse that is killing people. But he kind of ends up falling in love with him instead, and shenanigans ensue.
The end of any perfect pitch.
Underwater stuff is always very interesting to me. Just, I don't know if this is like a mental block I have, but whenever I, read an Aquaman comic book or a Namor comic book or something like this, there's something about it that does make it very eerie and different. What draws you to that in particular, and how does it affect the storytelling?
Well, part of the reason is like, I did not like drawing, like buildings and like stuff in modern day. I think I was like very slow to learn perspective. Maybe it was a crutch. I like to say I'm just attracted to more organic shapes, but it seemed very interesting artistically because I was very into the arts and more painterly stuff, being able to like paint the underwater world and take advantage of all like the little fish and colors and plants. Just like the being able to color it seemed very fun. And to figure out like how they exist and move around in this world.
What did you do for research? Did you visit aquariums? I feel like this type drawing underwater, a lot of people take different approaches, and some of them are like, "Oh, you just drew on land, but added bubbles." But this feels like purposefully very lush and specific.
Yeah, I did a lot of it was just like kind of looking at studying like sea life. Online there was a few video games that inspired me, like there's a video game called Abzu. It's from the same creators of Journey, but they made an underwater video game and used a lot of like the fun colors there, but most of it was just like looking at A lot of it was online. I didn't do a lot of, I lived in Iowa at the time when I first started making it, so there was not a lot of.
Wow, maybe the furthest place from where you were, where your story was set. That's hilarious.
Just aching for the sea. But a lot of online research. I found out very quickly that making a webtoon, I could not really get into a lot of the, like, the detail of, like, the sea plants that I wanted to. I really had to, like, simplify things. So I tried to focus on just giving everything, like, strong colors and making that feel as underwater as I could.
Is that something that you, now that it is on the page, did you want to go back and add things in at all?
I definitely have tried to, like, polish things wherever I could. There's always, like, those panels that when I was, like, quickly updating the webtoon, I was like, oh, I've always wanted to fix this little mistake. But I'm trying to avoid going into the cycle of, like, redrawing your entire comic and just being in a perpetual cycle.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pete, please.
One of the things I really love about this is the kind of use of colors, then also the use of space. There's a kind of a feeling of, like, less is more a little bit in this, where, you know, you're really kind of artistically showing us pages instead of just kind of, like, overly detailed. It also has, like, a nice, like, pace and almost a feeling of underwater. Is that something you were super conscious of, or were you inspired by kind of certain things, or how did you kind of come to that?
Yeah, I feel like, especially at the beginning, since it kind of takes place underwater and it's, like, supposed to be this big world, I kind of wanted it to kind of, like, slowly, like, the part where he falls into the ocean at the beginning. I wanted to, like, slowly introduce, kind of give it some atmosphere before it got into too much of the plot.
Smart.
This is very much a slow burn romance central to this book. How do you pace that out for webtoon, given that you're putting things up every single week?
Well, my readers would tell you that it's way too slow and that this is happening so much quicker. But part of it was, like, a learning process for me, because I feel like when I first got into it, stuff takes way longer than I think it is. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do all these things in my head is going to happen in the next 3 episodes. And then it ends up taking, like, 20 episodes. So part of it was a learning curve for me. But most of the time, I'm just kind of freeballing it, kind of like trying to feel the pace when I'm, like, drafting out the episodes, adding panels, moving things around. Yeah.
And now that it's been out for a couple of weeks in bookstores, have you gotten to check it out? Have you seen it in print in the wild at all?
I did. A few days ago, I went to the Barnes & Noble closest to me, and I actually saw it. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy, because in the middle of nowhere in Iowa, the only bookstore I had access to was a Barnes & Noble. So when I was a kid looking at comics, that's where I was.
Wow. So did you, let me start to get into that moment a little bit harder. Did you, like, casually sort of pass the area where it would be? Were you going there beelining to it? I feel like it sort of seems like you were like, oh, I stumbled upon my work in the wild.
I did, like, wander in there with the coffee, and I did that thing where you, like, look around for people. As if anybody would be looking at me, like, trying not to be suspicious.
But paparazzi waiting there for you.
We were like, wow, this looks really good.
Yeah, given the hard sell.
What has the I mean, maybe it's too soon for this. It just came out, I think, October 22nd, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. But what has the response been from the webtoon community? I'm just curious, because obviously that is extremely online. So has that translated to in-person physical sales?
I like to think so. I feel like we might have to wait a little bit to find out for sure. But, like, general reception seems to be very positive. I think a ton of the community is happy to see that a lot of these comics are turning into physical books, because they've been asking that for so long. I think it's been, since 2019, they've been wanting a physical copy. So the fact that it's finally happening is, I think they're very happy about that.
And talk to us a little bit about where Castle Swimmer is going next. Obviously, we're definitely talking about, like, the first 19 chapters, but those are from a while ago. In the webtoon space, what can you tease about what's coming up with the book?
It's going into its fourth season for the webtoon. And that's going to be the final season where the kind of like the climactic stuff of the story is all happening. So a lot of stuff, a lot of exciting things to prepare for.
Now you say that, but it sounds like it might end up going a little longer if you start the finale. Yeah, a little bit. No, nothing wrong with that.
Yes, I say fourth season, but it could be a very, very long fourth season.
Yes. All
right. Well, I'm sure everybody will like that. Before we let you go, anything else you'd like to plug?
Not really. I came from the webcomic space, so I would just recommend reading more webcomics. There's a lot of cool comics that are great. And you can always check them out, read them for free.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wendy, thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations on the
we love it.
Book. That's awesome.
Such a fun book.
Looking forward to more.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
Take care.
Good luck out there.
Good luck to Squid as well.
Of course.
Yeah, shouts to Squid.
Yeah, shouts to Squid.
All right, there we go. Once again, the book is called Castle Swimmer. It is out in bookstores everywhere now from 10
Speed check it out.
Graphic. You should check it out. It is adorable and very, very endearing, very wholesome, with some good action.
Yeah.
Danger as well. Yeah. And now we're going to bring in our next guest. They are the creators behind the upcoming Dark Horse comic book. It is a mini-series titled Welcome to Maynard, and welcome to the show, James Robinson and Jay Bone.
Welcome.
Nice.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi. Very excited to have you guys on here to talk about this book. It is great. Without spoiling anything about it, I will say we had a chance to read it, and it's awesome. It's coming out November 27th, so folks can check it out around Thanksgiving week here in America. But the rough pitch, tell me what I miss here. But basically, it is a hotel for magical creatures of different sorts. And our window character here is a new bellhop who might have some more things going on at the same time. I'm obviously skipping over a lot. I don't know how much you want to talk about or how much you want to spoil. But James, I assume this came from you, or was it in collaboration with both of you coming out? What was the genesis here?
Well, it began with me. It was an idea I had. And I got the title from actually, I should correct you. You said Welcome to Maynard. It's Welcome to the Maynard.
Oh, the Maynard. Oh.
The Maynard Hotel for magical wizards, witches, and supernatural beings. And I got the title from mishearing a character in a Fred Astaire Ginger Rogers movie.
Nah.
Popped nice. Into my head. So, which is a quiz me and Jay might do sometime for people, if they can work out which film.
Yes. That's a huge clue you just dropped. Nice.
Well, not really. There's a lot of Fred Astaire movies and a lot of characters. But anyway, so I came up with the idea, and I had it for a good while. And then I had worked with Jay on a series called Saviors that we did together over at Image. And I always wanted to work with him again. You know, I love working with Jay. He's fantastic. Oh. And I had a few ideas, and I pitched him a couple, and this was the one he responded to most. And so, yes, it was mine at the onset, but the thing about working with Jay is he has so many ideas. I mean, I know it's weird, Jay, I'm talking to you about you in the third person, I can see your face. He has so many ideas, and he's so collaborative and adds so much that it very, very quickly became our idea. So, So it is ours in every way, and it's a pleasure to work with them on it.
Well, Jay, then, what was it about this pitch that this was the one that you responded to in particular?
That's a good question. I have to think back. Honestly, it was the magic world, first of all.
Right.
That was exciting to me because I knew, like, design-wise, there would be a bunch of different characters, creatures. That's kind of my favorite thing. Like, Ray Harryhausen, stop-motion animation stuff is always a favorite. And the Saviors book that James and I did together was, like, alien invasion. So monsters is kind of my thing. So I think the opportunity for that was the big part of like, what drew me to that one, that script in particular, or that story in particular. And I'm also just... If I can see scenes as I'm reading them, then that's the stuff that, like, I just want to sit down and draw that. And that's what James gave me in the Maynard, you know, pitch. And then in, you know, subsequent scripts was like, I could just see the scenes playing out.
Well, and just on that, there's a great two-page spread where sort of the world opens up. Yeah. And it struck me just this panel is so physical. And it really feels like in any magical world, I feel like the rules are important. And it feels like this panel, it really stood out to me because it really feels like the world, like a pop-up storybook opens up. Could you talk about sort of landing on that design or like why am I feeling that way, I guess, if you could answer that?
Because there's two double-page spreads in that. Is it the real world to the
yes,
magic
when
world?
We first yeah. see the Maynard.
Yeah. I think James had written that I don't know if you remember, James, was it that you had written that the real world is opening up to the fantasy world?
Yeah, it's like stepping through I mean, this is stuff, honestly, I want this book to be bought by everybody, so I will spoil as much as I need to make it.
Yeah. Happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, it is a hotel for magicians, wizards, witches, mythical beings, all of that stuff. You name it, they go to stay at the Maynard. And we learn later on, there are like the Hiltons, but there are Maynards in various parts of the world. So this one is set in San Francisco, where Pip, Philippa, the young lady you can see on the cover there, sitting on the suitcases, it's her first day, but her mother had worked there and has passed away, and there is a little bit of a mystery behind her death that will be a B plot that will carry on through the series as she begins to sort of learn this and that. Now there are wizards, witches, and mythological beings, like I said, and they can see this world that exists parallel to ours. It's a little bit like Harry Potter, I guess, but it's a little bit more in your face. It isn't, you know, where you get on a train and you go to a separate place and there's a village down the road with, you know, magical sweeties and stuff like that. It's more like it's right there. You could be walking by and not realizing it, which is what most people in San Francisco do with the hotel. Now, the staff can be full magicians too, but in the rules that you mentioned, Justin, I believe it was asked this, the rules are that if you're a halfie, a half magic and half human, you can also see it, you just can't do magic. So you're a valuable sort of source of work, and you interact with that world, and that is Pip's world. She isn't sure, we'll find out later, if her mother was a full magician or female, a mage, or if she was also a halfie. Once you're a halfie, you kind of, that stays with your blood, you know, you never become a quarter or an eighth. So she's finding about her own past, and then at the same time, it isn't just sort of like fun antics in a hotel. There's always a mystery. There's always a magical battle. There's always some danger element in the book. And the thing that you learn, it's kind of set up in the first one, and then we reveal it full on in the second one. And Jay, if you don't agree with me telling all this, please yell. Is that that the person that raised her and got her to the point where she got a job at the Maynard is Sam, the house detective, who in that picture that you saw is the private eye looking guy that's peering from behind. So she's at the way that he became the house detective was he was a bellhop too, but he was secretly a house detective in training, learning the hotel, learning the ropes, while also learning from the house detective at that time. So Pip is doing that. She's actually learning to be a house detective. But then there are lots of other characters, other supporting cast, and then guests that come and go. And there's a big mystery that follows through the four issues. And it isn't just a cat burglar. There's a lot more to it than that. Mm. And which leads to a pretty great finale, in my opinion. I think Jay would agree. And also, I will say this. Jay adds so much in terms of background characters and supporting characters that by the time I got to the final issue, it was a much richer and more developed ending than it would have been had Jay not contributed everything that he contributed.
Wow. Now, you just laid out a lot of stuff there for anybody who's yes. listening. I want to say, from reading the issue, I was obviously, you're an old head at this, but like, I was very impressed how well everything was balanced, given the amount of characters that you're introducing, the amount of concepts that you're introducing beyond magical hotel with magical creatures. Like you said, there's the mystery element, there's interpersonal relationships, there's relationships outside the hotel. So lots of stuff to balance there. As a writer, where do you tackle it first? Do you start with, or in this example, do you start with the core of the concept and work it out from there? Do you start with the characters, the themes? Where does your brain start first when you're breaking down something with so many elements to it?
Well, I would say that obviously you start with the big picture. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know. I mean, that's a hard one to answer, really, depending on what you're writing, because sometimes the interpersonal stuff is the stuff that gets you first, and it gets you going, and then you kind of go, oh damn, I got to come up with a plot, you know, or I have to make this plot really as compelling as I'm finding enjoying writing the characters. Other times you come up with this, you know, interesting plot, you know, a lot of whodunits and crime fiction. It's about the plot more than it is the characters, because that's the through line. So I don't really know if I have a concrete answer for you. I know with Maynard, it was, I think I had the idea. I mean, help me here, Jay, because obviously you read the outlines. I think the initial outline, the plot was kind of there from A to Z, the beats.
Yeah,
it was really Pip and the other characters that made the plot bigger and more complicated and more fun. Would you say that's true?
I think, and I don't remember. So there were characters that I immediately took to, like Pip has a friend, a guy who's sort of giving her the lay of the land, Boots.
Boots,
yeah. And he kind of really quickly became a favorite guy for me to draw, just because I just saw him as this energetic, fun guy. And I feel like he then became kind of important as a protector to Pip, not to spoil too much, but later on, there's some stuff that we see an interaction with him and Sam that I don't know if that was something that James would have put in there to be Boots, yeah. But because that was a character that I loved, I think there was that he saw that interaction, or that, that it was a character that I liked, and to carry that stuff through. And I feel like that happens a lot. I also, I love to draw background characters. So I'll be throwing little things in here and there. And then those characters kind of become key to certain scenes again later.
Jay, for people that don't know, Jay is Canadian. He lives in Canada, and you can tell I'm English.
I knew it.
So we both have the Bande Dessinée French books, you yes. know, growing up reading Tintin and Asterix and all that stuff. It's in our comic book DNA much more than I think than Americans. A lot of them, they get into it from Marvel and DC. So that love of that clean line style was definitely something that I always see that in Jay's work, and I love that about him, but we definitely wanted to bring that into this series. So for readers who aren't necessarily into stuff that isn't more mainstream, there may be a little bit of an adjustment, but what I would say is when you look at, you know, Tintin and Charland and all these French authors, They do have mystery and action and drama, even though they have this fun comedy element to these stories at the same time. So that's what we tried to do. So we wanted to get the fun in, but as you guys know, you know, we end on a pretty epic cliffhanger.
Yeah.
So yeah, big time. And that thief is just a part of it. That becomes more dangerous and everything else. There's a I think a very moving finale to issue two's A plot, the plot for that issue. I did a pretty good job writing it. I won't lie. I'll pat myself on the back. But it really is the beautiful art by Jay in that scene, which isn't which isn't as fun as maybe this cover that we're looking at. And it's much more human and emotional. So, I mean, all of that is in this comic, and I hope people want to try it, you know?
Well, I would say it has, like you're saying, the fun really popped for me in that it does have, like, the bright, shiny tone of your, like, classic superhero comics in a way. Like, they're that the other two-page spread that I wasn't talking about earlier has that sort of, like, Justice League, you see the Justice League for the first time moment when you see all the creatures and dragons on the roof and it's in the middle right. of an action sequence. It has so much juice and energy to it. So not to just be pitching your book back to you, but I think
you like, that's great. Well,
yeah.
and there's a double page spread in three. Is that the Magician's Battle? Man, that was one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
which was like,
sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Well, we're giving stuff away, but this isn't a major spoiler. But it starts off with a you know what it's the equivalent of? Do you know how those the mixed martial arts
MMA, yeah.
where they do the weigh-in and they start fighting each other and it's kind of show before they do the actual fight?
Well, before they're supposed to, yeah.
This isn't show, but it's these two. They are going to have a magical battle to the death. And they have to, unfortunately, and it's all like within the rules of the magic guilds and everything, it's all allowed. But they happen, unfortunately, to check into a hotel at the same time. So as opposed to this proper one, they end up having a battle in the foyer with everyone around them, and there's craziness and Pip's like, what the hell's going on here? You know, and she's just arrived for work, and Boots has to explain it all while stuff's going on, and it's a great scene, and that is a perfect example, by the way, of where Jay adds background characters that then makes the thing feel even more alive and rich.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to jump in while we're complimenting the art. He creates such an amazing world that I don't want to leave. The hotel, this whole setup is just so magical and cool. Yeah. That
Pete's moving into a hotel, hoping to capture just the littlest bit of
yeah,
this.
Yeah, man. Makes me want to be a bellhop and forget my dreams. You know, this is just really cool.
Achieve your dreams, your bellhop dreams.
Well, it's funny you say that. We're actually developing the next sort of thing for the Maynard with the hope that this thing sells and we get to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the characters, some of them on their day off, and how they exist in the real world.
Oh, cool!
With magic still around them, so there's definitely. And I'm literally, you probably saw me sort of typing away while I was waiting to come on, Alex. You could see me on the screen when you were talking to Wendy.
Uh-huh.
That was me finishing up my outline for Jay, which has all of that stuff, which I think, Pete, you will definitely see that it isn't even just a hotel, it's a lot more, but hopefully fun and that you all enjoy that too when we get to it.
You don't seem too shy about talking about what's coming, so can you tell us what sort of the first run that this is, and then sort of how far you have pushed out, like what outline are you working on, issue 100?
Oh no, I wish. so the first arc begins with the like cat burglar that is stealing things, possessions and things from the Maynard Hotel. And some of them are worthless. So it's the mystery of why are these things being stolen? And that becomes the B plot, the thing that goes through the whole four issues as Pip and Sam begin to put it all together. And it leads to a big, exciting finale. And then at the same time, as I said, there's Pip's backstory, her relationship with Sam, who's sort of like a father figure, an big uncle figure, and how that all came about. But then as we go on, we'll see that, you know, that Boots has a very almost heartbreaking backstory. Different people have their stories, that there's more of a mystery around Margot, the manager, all of those things. And then the next... And then this little thing that we're working on now, we're not sure how many pages yet. Let's say 30 pages. We'll show these characters more distinctly, but also we'll set up the next four issues, which will be a magical locked room murder mystery within the Maynard Hotel that will begin in the Maynard in San Francisco and then end or have some of it take place in the Maynard in Japan.
Yeah, I was gonna say Osaka or something.
Osaka. So there's one in Leningrad. There's these hotels all over the place that we'll get to see down the line. So that's how far we are at the moment.
I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm gonna ask it anyway. Why four issues then for the initial series? Why not say this is an ongoing series? We're gonna continue this.
Talk to Dark Horse about that one. We would love to. I mean, it's a difference of opinion, but I actually think that comics thrive on them being that having a regularity. I think that's apart from top flight artists and great stories. I think that's definitely something that helps the Ghost Machine books that they come out. You know, they're coming out, and there's a regularity to them. So, you know, fingers crossed we'll be able to do that. But at least if we just could do these, you know, welcome to the Maynard : locked room mystery. Welcome to the Maynard : or actually just do the names of the different hotel location.
Well, I was going to say, to go back to the bande dessinée, like the French or European comics, what I think James and I both love about those is that they, even within Tintin, you could have like comedy stories, mystery stories, hints at the supernatural for us, definitely the supernatural, the witchcraft. But it's always it's a volume. So you get a good story in a large format in a book. So I, as an artist, I don't mind the four issues with a break because I'm putting a ton of work into it, but then I'm beat. And I want to take a little nap. and then you get to do, let me get on the next arc because there's so much that I learned or so much that I came to realize as I'm drawing the characters that I want to, now I want to take that and put it into the next material.
So you're saying those little naps, as you call them, will then change the style a little bit of how you approach the book?
Not change the style, but I'll have learned a lot in those four issues. So now I want to do another four issues because I've got like a good groundwork. Mm. And now I know these characters. I know how I approach Boots. Let's tell another story.
There is also the idea that taking those breaks, even if you keep sequential numbering, taking a break between issue four and issue five or whatever, allows you to release the trade, and that does allow for catch up and for people to get on board. I know there's these formulas people say all the time that may or may not be true, but I've heard that if you can get to three trades, that's the magic number because it feels real for people, and they'll buy those, and then they'll start reading the monthly. Mm-hmm. But that's counter to the idea of just doing a book every month. So there's always a different formula that some people feel works, but we just want to keep doing the book, don't we, Jay?
We do, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
James, you have another book that you're doing with Dark Horse as well called Patra, which is a very different type of crime book. It's a serial killer crime book it's not even a crime book. It's a serial killer horror.
It's a slasher comic.
What is it like working out these two different sides of your brain at the same time?
I hope Jay doesn't mind me talking for a minute just about, I have four books at Dark Horse, and they're being released, so they're staggered release. And Patra was the first one. And then I have, obviously, Maynard. And then I have a book coming out with, Jesus Marino. Does that name? Do you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Name?
Yeah.
Called Los Monstruos, which is a sort of, imagine a imagine like the world of Zootopia, but it in, but the city instead it's filled with like 1930s movie monsters.
Cool.
And it, and then the and then I have another book down the line, even further down the line, which is a steampunk book.
Oh wow!
So I'm just, I guess, you know, as you said, I have been around the block a few times. That light above me is making my hair look incredibly silver gray.
It's ideas. It sounds like ideas coming out of your brain.
There we go. Steam. Yeah, light. Idea light. So I'm just used to juggling ideas and all of that. Patra, which is which again has more arcs. I don't know if you've been reading the book.
Yeah.
But if you read issue two, where the doctor describes all his other mental patients, they're all meant to be my version of famous slasher hero, slasher monsters. Jeremy Jones is meant to be Michael Myers. Mm-hmm. So if that keeps going, Patra will eventually have to take on each of those different characters.
Wow.
So, cool. You know, and also that's a book where every issue changes what you think. There's a huge reveal in issue four at the end. So if anyone is reading, God bless you, if you're reading my more than just one of my books, stick with Patra 2, because that's definitely a book that has a lot more stories to tell with there as well.
If I could ask a question even deeper in the past, it's been one of us on this podcast is a big Starman fan, and I will spoil that it is me. It's been 30 years since that.
Yes.
That's quite some time. What do you think about it now, looking back? Or what stories or pieces of that mythology pop for you now?
Well, just the fact that I was able to do that book for 80 issues stays with me, because I think it was because back when I was doing the book, it was before the internet, and I think somehow books had more of a chance then. People's response is so visceral now, so quickly, that books can, if they're not kind of, even if they're good, sometimes they just kind of go away. So, but the talking with David's stuff, I loved, getting to write Adam Strange. It's a strange question, Justin, because not a strange question, but it's a hard question to answer at this point, because it is 30 years later. So it's just this blur of things I enjoy doing, working with Tony, seeing Tony's art grow from when he started to when he stopped doing it. But I'm glad you like Starman. And I would keep checking the news.
Yes. Well, that's my follow-up was going to be, I feel like Jack's been sort of like left to his devices. We're almost where you left him in the DC universe. Definitely. So I was like, there's room there.
Well, hypothetically, if there were any more Jack stories, there was a time when Jack goes to Japan.
Yes.
And so hypothetically, if ever there was another Jack story done by DC with me and maybe with Tony, it would be set in that flashback period, so that he still is retired happily with his kids and his wife in San Francisco, painting and just being Jack.
Almost like a Shades Journal version of Starman, perhaps.
Well, hypothetically,
this is all allegedly. This is all hypothetical.
If I was going to do that, the Shade would appear in that story too.
And just one more hypothetical for you: would it tie into the 30th anniversary of Starman, or might it hypothetically take a little longer than that?
Well, hypothetically, it might have supposed to have been, but things just take longer than you think.
They'd hypothetically take hypothetically longer.
Yes. Getting back to Maynard, because Jay.
Yes, of course.
By the way,
that was all just a mental
speculation. I appreciate all these questions, and anybody that is a Starman fan is a long dear friend of mine. So like I say, we do have lots of stories with these characters, and it's just, I hope that our love for the characters and the stories, and also the love for working with each other, because I never stop complaining. I never stop complimenting working with him. It's just so fun to see what he does, and just that he doesn't. And this is not a dig at an artist that has only ever done Spider-Man and Batman, or has only ever done dark horror, Vertigo books. But there's such a joy to Jay's art that it just makes me happy to have contributed to that story,
Oh man,
yeah.
Well, I think it's really wonderful. Again, the book comes out before Thanksgiving.
Can I just return the love?
Oh yeah, please.
I just want to return that, because absolutely, like, what I love with James, and I I've worked with writers, but it's been on like with Darwin for so many years, and that was a joint thing, which was amazing. But I mostly worked with writers where I'm just drawing the story that they told. But with James, the fact that I can plus things up, bring more, talk to him about scenes, all of that back and forth that we have was something that we started on Saviors, and I loved it then. And then it was such a, like, it that came out so many years ago, but we, so I'm happy to be back working with James again on, again, like, something that we're both creatively, like, gung-ho for and totally into. So, yeah.
And Justin, funnily enough, you brought up Starman, you brought up The Shade. The first time that Jay and I worked together was him inking Darwin Cook on issue four. Which issue was it? Four of The Shade 12-part series I did.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
Wow.
The one set in the 40s.
Wow, that's cool. Wild.
That's great. Well, oh yeah, sorry.
No, that was it. That was it.
No. I was just going to say thank you guys both for coming on, and just reiterate that I think the series is great. Like I said, there's such a clear setup here. Like, I don't use this necessarily in the TV term, but it's such like a pilot issue where you're like, oh, I understand this world. I get these characters. I get this concept. You got a clear plot going on here. And of course, Jay's art looks amazing. So very excited to read more of this. And thank you guys so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
And if you like the idea of the other ones, have me on again with the other artists when the time
comes. Please.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Come back. Hypothetically.
Bing. Hypothetically, I feel like there's a big hypothetical Starman hypothetical show.
Yeah, we got a lot coming up.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
Work.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Go. Once again, that was Jay Bone and James Robinson. The book is called Welcome to the Maynard. Going to get it right that time. And it debuts on November 27th from Dark Horse Comics 4-issue series. And like we said,
Thanksgiving treat. It's a meal.
Thanksgiving treat.
It's a meal of a book.
Yeah. And just to kind of double down on it, I mean, the world and everything that we were talking about, it's so cool. It really sucks you in. And the story is just off and running. It's a hell of a read. Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. Two great books we got to talk about today, you guys. What fun. Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling. That includes some great comic book items, ranging from a customizable You Are My Hero glass to a personalized comic book made from family pictures. There's also a DIY mochi donut kit and something called 12 Days of Hot Sauce, but you're probably more into the comic book things, I'm guessing, given, our podcast. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/comicbookclub. That's uncommongoods.com/comicbookclub for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. But now we're going to move to an even funner section.
Even funner?
More fun. It's correct. That's correct how you say it.
Even funner.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post.
Yeah. Great.
Anyway, we are going to talk about your audience questions.
Woo!
For audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments. It can be about absolutely everything. And I just realized I forgot to talk about the cocktail that Brett created today. What?
Oh, no.
A bummer. Sorry,
that's okay.
Brett.
Say it. Still say it. It's still
I'll
good.
Still say it. Nope. We passed it. We can't do it.
No, we can still add it.
No, I know. Brett Macrish, Straight Bullet, chef down in New Orleans at Shift, which you got to check out. We're going to be eating food from there in just a few short months. Came up with this recipe, which is magical hospitality. More like, let's go find new jobs. Am I right? Yes, make it a double bartender. It's rye whiskey, Amaro, Agnesura, bitters. Did I do that right? I messed that up. Lemon juice and lemon peel. And it is inspired by Welcome to the Maynard. Sounds great. Did you make one, Justin? It kind of looked like you had some.
I did. I did, actually. It's long gone. It's long gone.
All right.
And it was a real treat. Just like everything so far in this episode.
Man, it was hilarious because Straight Bullet was in my head. I saw Justin like get all like fanboy excited. And I was like, and his heart grew two sizes. And Straight Bullet wrote that just as I was thinking it. I was like, oh my God.
I mean, Stanley, Justin was fanboying. You're goddamn right I was. I was doing it for all of us. And I'll tell you what, can you ever imagine a better fanboy response than being like, oh, that thing you like? I'm going to do more of it. A part that you would probably thought about. And now it's coming, hypothetically. Allegedly. Legal.
Very fun.
And how about he called you like a dear friend? Like anyone who loves is,
I'm popping over to England. I think that's where he lives.
Friends go visit each other.
You're right. Yes, they do.
All right. This is from All in the Game. Hey, happy with the Penguin finale? So we're not going to get into too much because we still have to tape our...
We still got to tape.
We got to tape our recap for Sons of
a Gun. We haven't even talked about it yet.
Hold on. Sons of a Gun, our DC podcast. But very briefly, thoughts on the season. Just like, I don't know, out of 10, how would you grade it, Pete?
Oh, my God. Well, first 10 off.
10 being highest.
I can't. Oh, thank you. Yeah. It was crazy, and I got really mad at the last episode. It was heartbreaking on a lot of different levels. So, I'm still sorting out my emotions on it.
No.
I got a little time to figure out how I feel.
Yeah, you have until tomorrow, buddy.
Yeah.
You have to figure out how you feel?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Therapy?
Yeah, I got a
long walk in the woods.
Pros cons list?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of do a little walk and talk, you know?
Yeah.
Where's Pete? Oh, in the woods ranting about the Penguin to no one?
I do that.
I know. I believe you.
Yes.
I thought the series was darker than I thought it would be, but better than I thought it would be. Yeah, I thought it really stepped up over the course of the season.
Great. And as the only person that's going to follow directions, I'll say 9.
Okay. Shout out in the comments. Which answer did you like best? Did you plug Alex's number into your Alex grid?
I was trying to keep it vague so we could hold some back for the podcast.
We're teasing. If we've learned anything tonight, Alex, it's spoilers. Oh, let's go. Yeah, let's just be loose.
Just fucking say it, man.
All right. Fair enough. This is from The Big. Have you guys watched the newest season of The Legend of Vox Machina? Thoughts? I will say I've only heard good things about that show, and for whatever reason, I have never checked it out, and I'm sorry.
Wow, apology. And I will answer 9.
Yeah, I haven't seen the newest season, but it's one of those shows where I love it every time I watch it, and then I, for some reason, just forget about it and forget to go back, but it's a great time.
Wow, I don't think you've ever mentioned watching that show before, Pete.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you've never demanded we watch it.
Yeah.
I've definitely talked about it because people ask about it.
I don't know if that's true. I feel like I'd remember it. Straight Bullet says, since you were off last week with no show, my first question is, how dare you? Okay. 2, has a secret quiz topic been mentioned but just phrased incorrectly? Pete, you talked about this a little bit on our Week Geek podcast.
That's right.
Our Patreon supporters had a whole week to think about this.
Yeah.
Do you want to mention it here on the live show at all?
Sure, yeah. The whole thing is getting the exact phrasing down to unlock it. I'm not sure how
much... By the way, for anybody who is new, Pete has a secret quiz that you can unlock somehow by saying a phrase.
That's right. And so if you say it correctly, you will unlock it. And to answer your first question, Stray Bullet, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we took off last week. But
well, I wouldn't say Alex we took off. We weren't on vacation. Alex I'll tell you that
mess. Alex was an emotional mess, and he couldn't do the show, and that's okay. You know, he needed to take a week off, and that's fine. He does a lot for us.
And while Pete was celebrating, jumping up and down with his hands in the air.
What?
That's what it sounds like.
Let's not even do this. Schoikler says, "What are genres, comics, TV, whatever, you've only gotten into recently?"
Ooh, good question. Well, let me say, I'll just say real quick, we've had a lot of Webtoon guests on the show, and I've been getting into that a little bit. That's a really fun, easy to dip your toe into world. Like, maybe the easiest. So that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, check out Webtoons.
I've been watching a lot of like very on par for myself things like comic book TV shows and whatnot.
I'm worried about myself because I'm like starting to watch old people shows.
Like tell.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm watching like CBS now. I'm like, what am I doing?
Really?
With my life?
That's a watching? Network.
Matlock?
Tracker?
No. Tracker?
Yes, I knew it. Of course you love Tracker.
What am I doing?
NCIS.
Yeah, because he's walking in the woods yelling about the penguin too, except he was also saving a life.
That's right.
Great. Nelson Kelso says, are you guys watching the new season of What We Do in the Shadows? Thoughts, if so? I have not yet.
I've watched a little bit. Shouts to my guy, Anthony Atamanik, who's sort of the main focus of, I think, the fourth episode. And it is the best episode. So
he's
shouts
the
to that.
Next door neighbor.
He plays the neighbor, yes.
Very friendly with Laszlo, right?
Yeah, great dude. I just saw him the other night. He did a show at UCB, known him for a long time. He was talking about his time on set and how wild it is being around all those actors, how fun they are, and how they are basically the characters, just not vampires in the camera.
Oh, so they're not vampires.
I mean, he left it open, so.
Oof.
All in the Game says, which was better, Inside Out 2 or The Wild Robot?
Ooh.
Oof, tough question.
I don't know. Sort of a tie. Both of them were all right.
Wow.
Oh, shots fired, bro.
Yeah, both were like seven.
I'll give it to you through the lens of my family. My wife disliked Wild Robot. I was like, wow, that's a controversial take.
Hot take.
And very much liked Inside Out 2. So I would give it to Inside Out 2 of those.
Wow. Are you and your wife fighting? Is it rough right now?
No, we're in agreement, technically.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. So, about like, a issue. Fight, but you're on the same side and you're not fighting anybody.
Yeah, we're getting divorced over animation.
That seems like it.
Stanley says, any expectations for Dune Prophecy? I'll say that I've seen the first four episodes, and my expectations are I sure hope it gets better after that.
Oh. Wow.
Well, I think even Alex's... informed opinion aside, I would say my expectations are highly mid. Are just like, this is going to be aggressively medium. It's going to be so hard, House of Dragon, for people who are, we all want Game of Thrones, but it's going to be so hard, House of Dragon. Which I'm not saying is bad, but it's definitely not.
Seems like you're
the
saying
peak.
It's bad.
I'm honestly saying it's like, I like it. It's good. But it's not, it doesn't have those peaks. And I feel like this whole series, Dune Prophecy, is set up to be like, Hey, you like all this Dune stuff. Here's the less fun stuff. We're going to do a good
also,
job at that.
They didn't do it with, I'd never know how to pronounce his name, but Denis Villeneuve, who directed the two Dune movies. He was originally supposed to be involved, and then he wasn't because of scheduling. So it's just an entirely different production team doing their own Dune thing. So, I don't know.
And you can see it even in the trailer. Like, it's just not as, it's just different. It's TV. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's
very similar. Like, there's the Marvel movies and the MCU that Disney does, and then there's the Sony movies, Marvel movies that everybody equally loves to those, and so it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, it's just like how there's a movie Stargate and then there's the TV show Stargate, and they both are the same.
Stargate TV show.
I knew it. I knew it. That was
you.
That is 100% fake.
That was pretty good. Stargate Universe, great.
I'll tell you what, the original Stargate movie, fantastic.
Also fantastic. Everything Stargate is good. Why isn't there Stargate? out there. Why are we always talking about Stargate?
Why is it there's Stargate, says Alex. Why is it there Stargate?
I don't know. But you know what I do know is there is trivia, and for that, I'm going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics Online. Because if you had $25, you go to a comic book shop, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come
on. If you want to play trivia, I just put this in the comments, but just say me and we will pick you and you will be walk away $25 richer.
And you will be invited to play trivia.
Yes, you will be invited.
Yeah. Or we could make Justin do it and then donate. Yeah,
no, someone's going to say, you got to give him a chance to respond. There's a slight delay.
Oh, okay. I'll just wait for the delay then. Hey!
We got Michael T. and Christopher Sava posted at the same time. Sava, excuse me.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, how do we decide if they posted at the same time?
Maybe they will. One of them will graciously bow out.
I mean, Michael T. says me if no one else, and Christopher Sava says
see, Michael
me.
T., like, literally, words come out of my mouth. Give it to Sava.
Yeah, Christopher Sava, you're playing trivia.
That's a lovely, generous move from Michael T.
All right, give it up for Michael D. What a nice guy. All right, here we go. Today's trivia is about the impressive comic book series Power Man and Iron Fist and a small nod to the legend Quincy Jones. R.I.P. Q. Ah. Here we go.
R.I.P. Q.
That's right. Please listen.
R.I.P. Q.
That's what I said. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. This artist did a perfect job drawing Power Man and Iron Fist. Who is it? Is it A, Sanford Green? B, Jesus H. Doug, what's the relevance? Or C, H. Douglas Baring?
While we're here waiting for his answer, maybe this is a good time to plug that we are going to be on BBC Two Radio this Thursday evening.
Yes.
12:30 a.m. Technically, yeah. Friday morning, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I think you can listen online. I think they broadcast if you have a way of getting BBC Two.
Otherwise,
we're huge in England.
We'll repost it on our stuff so you can listen.
Yeah, the reason I mention it now, too, is we're going to be doing trivia. So
yeah, we are.
So
yeah.
Should be fun. Is it A?
A is correct.
A.
Yes.
Question number two. This amazing author of this book is blank. Is it A, David F. Walker? B, Ronald, you are so boring. How are you going to spice things up? C, Ron Dante.
What does that mean?
How are you going to spice things up? Ron Dante?
Yeah, his name is Ronald, but changed it to Ron Dante to spice things up.
How is that spicing things up, though?
You like if you say it like
Ronald.
Rondante.
Rondante.
But does that mean spiced or?
It means,
yeah.
It's fun.
What sounds spicier, Alex? Rondante?
Oh, it sounds spicy.
Or
Rondante? I thought you were talking about like a word meaning spicy. C for spice? Is it C for spice?
It's spice is A. David F. Walker.
It's A for spice.
All right. Well, you can miss one question.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. You don't need perfection. Clearly,
here we go. Question number three.
We're epitomizing.
What is the title of the six-issue arc? Is it A, The Boys Are Back in Town, B, Bill, Where's the Carpenter, or C, Willie C. Carpenter?
Interesting. You're becoming sort of our Dr. Seuss. And you know what? I like this transformation. You can be walking in the woods just being weird, and we walk out with a little bit of poetry.
That's right.
Stray Bullet says, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. That was that song, right? 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
By that famous loaf artist. I just can't remember the full name.
Meat.
I'd like to unlock the meat
A?
Loaf quiz.
Is it
You're
A?
Correct, Chris. It is A.
Nice.
Wow. Congratulations. You are going to get a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. Email us, and we will get that off to you. Pete, what movie were you paying tribute to?
Of course, I'm talking about the 1978 musical The Wiz.
Ah, yes.
Ah, good times.
Q. R.I.P. Q.
Well, as we all know, new comics are coming out tomorrow. Lots of good ones coming out. But what are you guys looking forward to? Pete, want to go first?
Oh, thank you. Yes. I am looking forward to Absolute Batman number 2, the Uncanny X-Men number 5, as well as Turtles of Grayskull number 2. Come out!
Good stuff. Justin, nice. What about
you? Why did you almost take your shirt off?
Because I have Skeletor on. Skeletor, Grayskull. Do you see what I did there?
Not familiar. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
There's one comic that made me cry this week, and that would be, or it will make me cry, that is, and that would be Uncanny X-Men number 5, for sure, because the story has been building aggressively in a great way, and it's the most core of the X-Men books. Really, I'm interested in this from Dark Horse, Kill Me and Other Curiosities by Chad Lambert, sort of a cross-section of this this guy's work, which seems very cool. And one more that I was going
to... I'll mention a couple while you're looking. G.I. Joe 1 comes out tomorrow, and that's going to be a big one. If you didn't listen to our chat with Joshua Williamson from a couple of weeks back...
Too bad we didn't talk to him about
where
it.
Where we talked to him about G.I. Joe number 1. Also, Star Trek Lower Decks number 1 from IIDW.
Yeah,
Ryan
of course you're
North.
Saying that.
I am saying that because I like... Star Trek Lower Decks. I like Ryan North, who wrote it, and Derek Charm, who's drawing it. So great team on that one. And also throw out there Black Hammer Spiral City.
Ah, that was the one I was going to say.
Black Hammer Spiral City, number 1 from Dark Horse Comics. This is by Jeff Lemire, art by Teddy Christensen. Love all the Black Hammer stuff, so cannot wait for that.
Keeps finding new ways into the story. When I saw this, I was like, what's the next one? Shocking.
Yeah, there you go. And all of these are going to be in our Stack podcast that debuts Wednesday 9 a.m.
And more.
The Comic Book Club feed and the dedicated Stack feed. So check that out. And folks, that is it for this week's show. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Wendy Martin for coming on to talk about Castle Swimmer. You can check that out now in bookstores for 10 Speed Graphic and also on Webtoon for more episodes. Also, James Robinson and Jay Bone for talking about Welcome to the Maynard. That's coming out from Dark Horse November
27th. So fun. So hyped.
So fun. So hyped. Check that out. Next week on the show, Robin Warren is going to be here to talk about Marvel Fitness Deck. Be the hero of your exercise adventure. And we'll see if she can make us exercise.
I'm getting out my mat.
And Tim Seeley is going to be back on the show with Mike Norton to talk about Archie is Mr. Justice. So that should be a lot of fun. Comic Book Club News, our daily news podcast. Check that out Monday through Friday. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast. Just finished up recapping Agatha All Along. Sons of a Gun, our DC podcast. We're going to be talking about the Penguin
at some point
pretty soon, finishing that up.
Patreon.com/comicbookclub
to support the show and all the shows we do. You can subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice. At Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram and TikTok, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Later.